time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, another week. We in here in your ear canal. You already know. We chopping it up with you. Welcome to the conversation. You know, we just going to talk our shit and enjoy the time spent. That was me trying to do something new from the onset, but you know, it is what it is. Oh, we're here.
You sound like the holiday spirit.
Yeah, man, I guess so. I'm ready for it. I'm ready. Turkey Day's tomorrow. I'm ready to, you know, bust down some sides.
Word up.
You know? Yeah, man. You got any good plans for it or what?
I mean, just going to be with the fam. Mm-hmm. You know, my pops is in town. And so, you know, this is the first time we've done Thanksgiving in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So.
Ever?
I think maybe once, but we do Thanksgiving in New York because, you know, we would have to be coming down here for Christmas. So,
okay, gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
That's a, you know, traveling five for Thanksgiving just to turn around and travel five for Christmas is a little excessive.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
So we would do Thanksgiving in New York and then come to the A for Christmas holidays between the A and Florida. So this time, you know, this is like the first time, like, you know, we rooted in the A with it. So, you know, we about to see what it's all about.
You know, and so, you hosting it at your spot or you going to the to your other A spot?
It's a collabo. It's a scenario. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Pops name in town, mother-in-law. It's a whole collab.
All right. Sounds cool. Nice little fluid situation.
Yes, sir.
Sounds good.
Yes, sir. So.
Yeah. All right. That's what it is. Sounds good.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited about that. I'm doing my 1-2. You know what I mean? I usually be gathering up, hunting and gathering the elements. So I've been on that, you know what I'm saying, getting, you know, all the menu items, you know, that I'm responsible for, you know what I mean? Mm. You know, I like to do, you know, rest in peace to my homie Lloyd Porter, who used to fry my turkey every year. You know what I'm saying?
R.I.P.
R.I.P. You know, one thing we do have, though, we did shoot a video of him frying the turkey. So I'm going to post that. I should post that tonight.
You know, that's cool.
Getting off. So, but I usually get a fried turkey from Lloyd, you know what I mean? And then you know, bake, roast a regular classic turkey. So I ordered my fried turkey, so that should be ready tomorrow night. And then I bust down the roasted turkey for the oven.
Okay.
Now I thought about getting slick with it, you know what I'm saying? And fuck with that green egg and see what you know what I'm saying? See what a turkey and the green egg come out like. But I've never used a green egg, so.
Okay, yeah, well, this ain't the time. This is not, you need a scrimmage.
But this is, you know what I'm saying? This put you on Front Street, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
I guess if you already got two turkeys on deck,
right,
you could have a little practice turkey if you want to go for it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
So what you going to do?
Nah, I'm going to see what this YouTube.
Ain't
too late. I'm going to see what this YouTube talking about tonight.
Okay.
If it look, you know what I'm saying? If it look accessible, reachable, attainable, then I'm going to go for it.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to put something on it. I bought some beef ribs too, so I might put the beef ribs on the green egg and see what happens.
All right. You had beef ribs. You didn't cook them last time. Somebody had some good beef ribs. What was it, last Thanksgiving you were talking about?
Yeah. It wasn't Thanksgiving. It was during the pandemic when the homie Terry Corbett, you know, famous for, you know, wilding out on the pod occasionally. Uh-huh.
Discrimination.
Yeah. Discriminatory Terry.
Right.
It was the pandemic. It was the, you know what I'm saying, we was all shut in, and he had a green egg. And he was experimenting on YouTube and, you know what I'm saying, yo, I got this brisket on out here. I got this, got these red beef ribs. So, you know, he was experimenting. I was just a beneficiary of niggas shut in and no loneliness and shit.
Shut in.
You know what I'm saying? come through and have a drink with
come
a nigga.
Get a plate. Come get a plate and a drink. Yeah, come on now. I know you're sad.
You know what I'm saying? That was a strange time, that pandemic, that early mm-hmm. pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's I don't think we've still unpacked it yet.
Nah.
You know? Nah, it's definitely going to. Gonna be a lot of documentaries about that. It's gonna be a lot of residual, effects to come.
Yeah.
I'll ask you this: was Terry's green egg? Was that what inspired you to get your own green egg? Because I've been hearing about these green eggs for a little while.
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's pretty simple as far as.
I have no idea. I ain't cracking.
Okay.
I mean, it's out there, but I ain't did nothing with it.
Got it. Okay, got you. So this gonna be the maiden voyage.
Yeah, it got a cover on it. It's nice. All kind of, you know what I'm saying? Got the
shiny
the hickory chips and all that shit. But I ain't did nothing yet.
Right.
I'm intimidated by cooking like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, talk about it.
Like, you know, in the kitchen, you know what I'm saying? It's all controlled, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You turn your fire up and down. Well, you're out there in the great outdoors, man. You got to manage your fire. You know what I mean? And you know, it's just a little, you ain't got no walls. Feel like somebody looking at you at all times, judging your grill process. Look at that nigga out there, don't know what he doing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it's vulnerable. It's like parallel parking.
Yeah. And then the problem with grilling, problem I have with grilling is when you bust out the grill, niggas be waiting on the food. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You could cook something on the stove and niggas don't even think twice. They don't even bother you about it. Fire up the grill, nigga. Niggas is licking their chops like, shit, when you done? Nigga, is it ready? Right. Hey, so, you know, it's a lot of pressure on it. And then socially, especially if you got people over, when you on the grill, that's a solo mission. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nigga might come by, pass you a drink, and, you know, say a couple words. But, you know, after that, nigga gonna walk off. You're going to be at that grill.
You're
going to see everybody having a great time over on the other corner. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to be on that grill wiping your brow. So it just, you know, it just wasn't my thing. I remember one time we went to the beach. We went to Sag Harbor. Shout out to Slim Pickens, who always hosts us in Sag Harbor. And, you know, I had picked up some groceries. I'm going to hit the grill, picked up some steaks. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Went out there and put my steaks on the grill. Then everybody went to go hang out on the beach and, you know what I'm saying, do beach shit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just solo dolo watching everybody have a great time on the beach in the sun. Some little kids came up to the grill. You know what I'm saying? Chatted me up. Was like, you know what I'm saying? But their ultimate purpose was, hey, when you gonna finish with, can we have some of them steaks? I was like, I got no company, but some kids, some hungry little kids begging with their eyes. And I'm just stuck in this one place. And me being a social person, it's like, damn, I would rather be out there. You know what I'm saying? I should have bought some Popeyes and just called it the motherfucking day.
Yeah. It's like being the DJ.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just over there by yourself, but you are very integral to the vibes.
No doubt. No
you know,
doubt.
Like whatever you doing over there, it needs to be official because it could be, you could make the whole shit whack. Just like a DJ, like, this shit was trash. Music was garbage. This nigga on the grill was had us with these tough ass burgers and rubbery ass steaks. Yeah, man.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, you have to accept the role. And I don't think I have all the way accepted that role yet. That's why it's so complicated in getting going. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, again, I might try it. I'll let y'all know next week what happened, but I might try that
shit. Keep the people posted, man.
No doubt.
I've never been a grill guy. I didn't really grow up in a grill setting. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though there was grilling around in many of the settings, but I've never been in a situation where, one, growing up, I ain't really never have access to a grill like that. And then two, afterward, still not much access to a grill. You know what I'm saying? There's some people would grill in the public park. I never was into that. You know what I'm saying? I don't trust them grates. That's one. And I don't know what these
aluminum foil is for.
Yeah, but still, sometimes that aluminum they need some vibranium foil to really get that shit, make sure shit is all the way, you know, hygienic. And to your point, I'm not going to lie. Like you said, I think I'm a little intimidated by it because the people that really, it's like there's belts to it. You know, and the people that you truly respect, they like double black belt grillers. Like, they really go in and they really care a lot and they pour over it and all of that shit. Nah.
He's got techniques.
He got super techniques. I'm not really into it. That is one element of cooking that I, at some point, maybe if I get a backyard at some point, I would like to explore, you know, at leisure. I don't know if I would jump in the fray on a Thanksgiving situation or a 4th of July situation. Mm-hmm. I'd probably do, you know, the 7th of June, you know what I mean? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Something that's real low stakes just to get my footing.
Right. But, that's like going on stage, you know what I'm saying? Because telling you, we got a crowd, you know what I'm saying, waiting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like deciding you're going to get on stage with whatever you're doing, comedy, rapping, singing. Oh, yeah. you done took it from the bathroom to the stage with it, you know?
What's that first joke going to be? How you going to crack that mic?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, because that should have set the tone for the rest of the time up there. Yeah, man.
Man, I got a homie out here, Dee Dee. This motherfucker, he do all that shit. He grill. I talked about him on the pod a while back about the grits. Nigga made the best grits I ever had in my life. Okay. I'm a grit connoisseur.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Shout out to Dee Dee. We get right, go ahead, because I got a question about grits. How would you describe grits to someone? I had a situation where I was trying to describe grits to someone who never had grits before. And it was tough to pull from because consistency-wise, it's in the realm of maybe farina, not all the way oatmeal, you know what I'm saying? But taste-wise, not farina.
Right.
But then consistency-wise, it's kind of like polenta, but not in the way of polenta. You know, I used to joke and say, you know, hummus is like white people grits, you know, but like, how would you describe grits and take it to the next level and jump back into the Dee Dee situation? What do you think, as a grits connoisseur, what do you think makes a good grit?
Well, if I had, you know, that's a documentary question. If you had to describe grits to someone who never had grits, how would you describe it? I would start by the environment. It would be like, you know, it's a quiet early morning because you got to get up early to get your grits done in time for, you know, the wake up, you know what I mean? So it's a quiet early rise, you know what I'm saying? It's the smell of, you know what I'm saying, a buttery smell in the air because, you know, real grit people put their butter in when they put the water in, you know what I'm saying? So it could, you know, wrap all around the grits. It's a buttery smell in the air that's often accompanied by, you know, the slow cook of a piece of oven toasted bread. Then to get them the consistency, I would start with the mind frame of a cornmeal. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it starts off like a cornmeal, like a little grainy, you know what I'm saying? Like a yellow cornmeal, but it's white, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then,
goes left. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but then, because there is such a thing of yellow grits, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's such a thing of people who make cornmeal like grits. I've had that too. We cook them like grits and get it soft. It take longer though. You know, cornmeal is real resistant. But anyway, I put a start there, but you're going to bring in the creamy texture of, you know what I'm saying, some milk. And you know what I'm saying? You're going to bring in the savoriness of the salt and the butter. And then, shit, it's like a motherfucking a happy seven-year-old on a cool Saturday morning. That's what grits is.
A happy seven-year-old on a cool Saturday morning. All right. That's an interesting reference point. All right. Okay. Now, where you at? Because I know a lot of people go back and forth for this. I don't think I've ever really encountered them or had them. Or if I did, they don't really, not enough to where I have a reference point. But you know, there's this big debate between regular grits and then sweet grits.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan of a sweet grit?
I am not. If I'm going sweet, I'm going with a sweet cream and wheat. But, mm-hmm. you know, where I came from, my grandma's house had probably about 13 kids that was there on a weekend. You know what I'm saying? And so it was like industrial. And that's why I gathered all that information that I just put out. It came from my grandma's house. I was imagining myself in Brown Sub on a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's what you wake up to smelling. On a good day, you're waking up smelling the smell of buttery in the air. On a bad day, smell a little burnt bottom of the grit pan in the air. Mm-hmm. then you know you're in for a bad batch when mm-hmm. you smell that burn.
mm-hmm.
But you know, it was democratic in that, you know, you're going to get it the regular way. Then whatever you do after that is on you. You know what I'm saying? So you had some sugar people at the table. I was more of a give me another piece of butter on mine. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I would at the time like, you know what I'm saying, the drip of the butter around my grits. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that's where I'm at with it. I'm also a grits ain't shit without a scrambled egg mixed in. So
see, I like some bake. Well, I guess you're a Muslim, so you didn't see that flavor profile. But I'm one of the people with some good crispy bacon mixed mm-hmm. in there, and I like a good cheddar cheese in the grits too. I'm not gonna lie, I like some of that. That's a good situation.
I got you.
Go ahead.
No, I got you. You understand that?
And then last thing, I will fuck with. And this is just from just being in the South. I'll fuck with a piece of good fried fish, a fried piece of whiting, and some grits. That's another level right there. That's
good fish and grits, a good, you know what I'm saying, fried shrimp and grits. You know what I'm saying? I don't partake too much in the restaurant shrimp and grit process because they mostly cook it with the sausage. So I kind of stay away from it. But, you know, a good fried shrimp and grits. But I still got a mix of egg in there. You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. just me. You know what I mean?
It
just don't feel right if it ain't got a scrambled egg somewhere in sight. You know, like a plain Jane grit ain't for me.
Mm-hmm. You know? And grits don't travel well either. That's another thing I've realized. Like if you ordering grits from a spot, are you going to pick them up? You know what I mean? By the time you get them to the crib, it's damn near concrete. They don't really, they got, I feel like grits, just like fried fish, mm-hmm. is best right off the heat.
Definitely, you know what I mean? Best right off the heat, is along with the egg, you know what I'm saying? You mm-hmm. don't really want to mm-hmm. go get no takeout grits and eggs and shit.
Not gonna
do it. You know what I'm saying? Now, there is a delayed grit moment, you know what I'm saying? It ain't what you want for your first choice, but when you're coming back for a second, you know, try at it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the grit might be got a little solid, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Then you have mm-hmm. to chop it up. Then you know what I'm saying? Then you got to...
Bricks.
It's like re-rocking. Yeah. It's like re-rocking grits.
Yeah. Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? Chop your shit up, you know what I'm saying? Put a little more milk on it, and then you
butter.
Hit it. Yeah, butter. Yeah. Hit it again. It's mm-hmm. a little... It's, you know, it's, it got a little, you know, lumps in it, but you know what I'm saying? Not hard lumps, But
right.
But it's good for a second round. You know what I'm saying? Got later, it's the, you know, it's just to hit the flavor profile one more time for you ease into gosh. your late afternoon.
Got you.
But that's anyway, Dee Dee.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah, go ahead.
Dee Dee was the king of the grits. I mean, I crowned him. I was at his crib. He was making shrimp and grits. Uh-huh. And, you know, I seen him over there making. I had my camera. And then he had an interesting process to his grits because he didn't let them just be. You know what I'm saying? He constantly stirred his grits.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, what you doing? Well, then, you know, first I watched it with my own eyes. And then he served them, and I'm like, Lord have mercy, these grits is off the chain. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't see him do nothing special except for keep the stirring going. So we ran out of grits, and everybody was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? So he's like, let me make another batch. So I pulled out my camera. First of all, you know what I'm saying? He had the farmer's market grits. You know what I'm saying? The shit don't have no label, just come in a plastic bag. You know what I'm saying? You go get, you know, fresh from the farmer's market.
And that's to connect. Right. Yeah, old McDonald.
Yeah. Secondly, he ain't use no water at all in his grits. He was just all milk, which means you got to manage your heat profile. Because, you know, milk burn real easy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, on the box of grits, they tell you to boil the water, then pour the grits in. Nah.
Right.
He started his grits fresh off. You know what I'm saying? Everything in there at once when you turn the heat on. The milk.
Like cereal.
Yeah, the milk, the grits. Then you turn the heat, salt, you know what I mean? And then the thing he did was he stirred it the whole time. He's like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it seemed like, to me, grits take a long time. But for him, they didn't take long at all, you know? So he stirred them. Then he, you know, put the butt in there, stirred. Next thing you know, smooth, creamy, fresh out the pan, no lumps, all to the good. A+ grits, man. And I ain't had nothing better since.
Shout out to that man, Dee Dee, man. That's big. That's a nice accomplishment, man.
But I brought him up.
Mention. Oh, go ahead,
I brought him up because he nice on the grill, though. You know what I'm saying? He type of nigga just embarrass you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go to his crib, he going to lay that shit out on the grill. He going to cook that shit while he's sitting there, have a beer. He ain't never out the loop. You know what I'm saying? He do the shit how you supposed to do it, and it takes special skill, and that I don't have yet. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to be an entertainer to be able to run your grill and your conversations at the same time. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he got all that whole flow. So I invited him over to, you know what I'm saying, to my spot, and I had none of that. You know what I'm saying? I felt like a failure as an entertainer. I'm like, damn. You know what I'm saying? He make the shit look easy. That shit was difficult for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm the type of nigga come take over my grill.
Let me get in there, man. Go ahead. Go sit down, man.
Hey, just look at the whole process. Like, you know what? Yeah. Man, have a drink, man. You chill. I got this. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man. Hey, I invited you. Nah, it's all good. All right, fuck it. I'm going to go to the liquor store and get some good drink. Okay, be back.
Right.
Type shit.
There's an art to that. There's an art to that, to the cooking and the hosting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good art to that because you got to, like, really... Like, you gotta know your elements. You gotta know both. You gotta learn how to play both. See what's simmering here. This needs to be stirred. We gotta stir the pot conversation-wise in here. Then I gotta dip back over here before this shit boil over. Because then also, and it's funny that you could tell from the storytelling and even the element of you whipping out the camera and filming this man, he's absolutely comfortable in his zone.
Right.
Because I'm be honest with you, I'm not one of these people. If I'm cooking, I don't like nobody in the kitchen with me. Cause it's still like I'm not at that level where I'm good, you know, hey, like I'm in this bitch. I'm mixing. I'm trying. I need to have my headphones in. I need to be listening to the records and shit, matching my BPMs and all of that. I ain't got no time for a whole lot of small talk. Here, get a drink. I'm gonna be right out there. Just relax. Here, put the, you know what I mean? Put some shit on the TV. We're gonna have something on the Bose speaker, something. I'ma pop in and out quick. Hurriedly. Everything good? You all right? It ain't gonna be no long form conversation until we are plated. And then when we played it, now we could indulge in some other shit. But yeah, for somebody to pull out a fucking some video recording, that'd stress me all the way out, because now this shit is posterity. Now I really gotta rock this shit, because this shit is going into the motherfucking, it's going into the damn, what do you archives. Call that shit? The, what do they call that shit where you get your tweets go to, or used to go to? You know the shit where they,
archives?
I can't even. Yeah, the archive, but there's a whole name for it. There's the United, the Ultimate, the Washington. I forget the name of the archive. But they stopped doing it because there's so many tweets. But before, like, your tweet would be published in the blah, blah, blah. Anyway, you get what I'm going. But, yeah, honorable mention. Shout out to Thumbs Up. Thumbs Up. As far as a restaurant goes in Atlanta, I haven't been there in many years, but I do remember them having a good grit situation. And then there was this other spot in Harlem. Damn, I can't remember. I think they went out of business anyway, so the mention ain't even going to work for them anyway. You know what I mean? It's a dormant act. If I added them, the account is dormant. It's done for. I also had a friend of mine tell me, I've never tried this. This is definitely way more rich and probably not advised. This is some every so often shit. But instead of milk, instead of water, they use a heavy cream
right.
to mix the grit.
Nah, that's something. Wow. That's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. That shit, I haven't had it. I haven't had it knowingly. So I don't know what the flavor profile is. But from what I understand, it's definitely way more rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A little bit more intense. So,
word.
Shout out to the grit eaters. yeah, man. But that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited for Thanksgiving. I was going to, for a hot second, it's probably not going to happen, but there was a point. Well, one, you said fried turkey. I think I've said this before on the mic before. I have yet to have fried turkey. I've never had it before.
Never.
Never had it. And it's, my barber lives nearby my sister's crib where I typically go, you know, for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yo, we frying a turkey. If you want, come through, get a plate.
Mm-hmm.
Just my pride. I don't know. I can't. I mean, it was an invite, but it just feels weird. And that's my own hang up because I was invited. But I don't know. Especially on Thanksgiving, I got so much trauma from being young and shamed for being hungry about certain types of shit. Like, you coming over with a plate on Thanksgiving, it's like, nigga, what? Y'all niggas ain't got no turkey at your spot? You know, that's what I'm feeling, even though.
That food insecurity vibe.
Absolutely. It's a lot of PTSD. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was thinking about getting one of those Popeye turkeys, because I've been hearing about these shits for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I even found the Popeyes that's still taking it, like you could still pick it up. But from what I understand, you got to let that shit thaw for like 3 days. So I'm probably past the time period now at this point. Yeah, for whatever. I guess they got them frozen or something like that. So, you know, like you got to let them thaw out. Like keep them in the refrigerator for like 72 hours.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, I'm kind of behind the eight ball on that. But I'm curious about that. I didn't know it was so much, you know, prep to it. I mean, it makes sense, but I thought it was just a little bit more plug and play. But maybe next Thanksgiving. We'll see what's what.
Or you can go by your barber spot and, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe. I didn't bring it up this year.
Oh, because
I didn't go last year. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to keep bringing it up and not show it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's weird. But, you know, we'll see what's what. I'm more of a sides fan anyway. I'm more of a, macaroni and cheese, yams and stuff, and, you know, a little greens. Mm-hmm. After that, you know, I rock with some ham too. I'm not sure if you saw this, but Glorilla tweeted recently. She was like, you know, I've been off pork for a little while. She said, y'all gonna call me slow and everything, but I just realized that ham was pork.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Some people, but you know, certain things I don't think people process to pork. Like I feel like ham is, you know what I mean? Ham is kind of on that line. For instance, like pepperoni, that's one of them things that a lot of people probably don't see as pork immediately.
Right. Right.
And then if you go to the other extreme, there's the people that are fine pork and everything. You know what I mean? It's pork and jello. It's right. pork and this. You know what I mean? Right. So,
I mean, but, you know, Ali Muhammad grew up reading the ingredients and shit. So
everything
was pork. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't do shit. Mm. It was a whole time where we didn't go to McDonald's because they cooked the fries in lard.
But I thought it was beef tallow that they was using.
That was not back in the day. I don't know what they switched it to. They switched it at some point. But in the beginning, that shit was definitely rumored and executed upon in my house as pork at the McDonald's.
So, it's funny. I never even knew lard was pork until you just said that. In this moment.
Yeah, that's pork fat.
Lard was just grease.
Right. See, when you reading them ingredients, you get taught all of the pork. You know what I'm saying? Gelatin, lard, you know, all of the pork terms that don't say pork.
Right. They try to,
So Jell-O, McDonald's, you couldn't fuck with none of that shit. So, you know what I mean? It's always been on the radar. Pepperoni, you know, everybody order a pizza, have a pepperoni.
Yeah.
And in the 70s, early 80s, you know, people, they weren't on all that shit, all these dietary restrictions, nigga, you eat what was put out. So you come around like, hey, shit, you want some pizza? You like, I don't eat pork. What the fuck you talking
what
about?
What you talking about?
You know what I'm saying?
It's pizza, though. It's pepperoni. What you talking about?
Right, nigga, pork, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, I probably educated a lot of people on that shit just off of what I didn't eat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But my homeboy, his mama, who, you know, she basically raised me, she fucked me up one time, and she actually was hungry, and they made pork. And I was like, well, I don't eat pork. She's like, I ain't actually what you didn't eat. Nah, I said, but you're hungry. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's a whole lot of stuff around here. I ain't actually what you didn't eat. Nah. You're like, damn. So, you know what I'm saying? Had to hold your head, but, you know, you had to, you had to uphold the law.
Yeah, that's a heavy burden for a young kid. You got to really stand your ground early in life.
Yeah, back then. Now, everybody on all kind of shit. Everybody vegan, vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was foreign back in the day, especially in Miami. Yeah. I don't know, probably Chicago and New York is probably more progressive, but fucking Miami, niggas was eating pork, eating some ribs, nigga.
That's what's up. I had bouts of not eating pork, but that didn't really start for me until like college and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I go away, you know what I'm saying, get enlightened. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I ain't fucking with it. Niggas will laugh.
Yeah, that AU center was very enlightened.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that.
A lot of dreadlocks and, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Changed the world shit. Yeah, niggas had poets and all kind of shit.
Oh shit, man. So yeah, man, I'm excited though. Should be a good time. So happy Thanksgiving to y'all. You know. Let us know in the comments, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side? What's your favorite Thanksgiving side? You had to rank the three.
Me?
We'll give you top three, yeah.
Oh. Top three, mac and cheese and yams.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like my yams to touch my mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Not a mix, but I like them to touch.
Okay. Be acquainted.
Yeah,
okay,
I like
to
be acquainted. You know what I'm saying? Not all the way through the whole thing, but just that little bleeding line. I like that line of, you know what I'm saying, the goddamn border. Like my borders to kind of blend a little bit, like Texas and shit. But and then so mac and cheese, yam, and depending. You know what I'm saying? on where the greens came from, but, you know, and where the stuffing came from, like the dressing. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So, like, the dressing, mac and cheese, and yams, I like as a combo. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If the dressing is good. Now, everybody don't make the dressing the same. So, you know what I'm saying? If it's a good dressing, I like that shit to match up. Mm-hmm. You know? So, those are my three. Yeah. You know, just classic black shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, you hosting this year. But if you were going to someone's house for Thanksgiving, what would you bring?
Well, again, we used to do joint Thanksgivings in New York with another family. And then, you know, everybody mm-hmm. get their assignments. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I always brought the fried turkey because nobody really ever asked for that. But when it show up, niggas like, ooh, it's like bringing Popeyes to the you know what I'm saying, to the potluck. Nobody ain't really asked for no Popeyes, but when it show up, though, it's a fan favorite, you know?
Right.
So I would bring the fried turkey. That's always my contribution is that element of you had to go out and source that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You just can go into the store. You got to source it, find somebody that do it right, and then, you know, show up with it. And it's always like that after meal delicacy. Mm. After you done ate, then niggas start nibbling off the fried turkey. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. what fried turkey give you is just that. It give you that sensation of you know, the fried shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? You ain't even got to eat a whole piece of that shit.
Right.
But you need a piece that got some skin. You know what I'm saying? You know, the little pointy
little salt,
tip.
Little crisp.
Yeah, the little pointy tip off the wing. Like, a motherfucker enjoy that shit because it's like, woo.
That's the shit. That's you know what I'm saying?
So, you know, that part, I would do that. You know what I'm saying? So that's usually my contribution.
Gotcha.
Because, again, like I say, nobody asks for it. It's just, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. All right. That's cool. I typically do, I typically do like a bottle of something. Or a cool dessert. Like a nice dessert, but like a good, like if I get ahead of it, like you said, I would like to get some shit that I know is like on point, like that, you know, it's fire. If I'm not as proactive, then I kind of leave it up to the grocery store and I try to get a decent situation, but it's at that point it's a bit of a dice roll. But if I could, I'll go to certain outlets where I know they gonna have a good either something like a peach cobbler or a good nice little pie situation, you know, something like that. And then I got a couple different bottles that I might fuck with, you know. So, I would probably do that.
Yeah, my sister about to do a peach cobbler.
She nice with it?
We gonna see.
Oh, okay. This is all right.
It's prime time. I've been in New York for all the Thanksgiving, so I don't really know what the Thanksgiving skills is around here. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, it's like that.
Yeah. I can dig it.
Word.
That's what's up, man.
So, you know, it's going to be a good time, man.
Yeah, of course. It's going to be a good time. I was watching this documentary this weekend called Is It Black Enough For You?
Right? Mm-hmm. What's that?
Thought about you. I think you would probably appreciate this shit, man. It's directed, narrated, and executive produced by Elvis Mitchell, who I'm a fan of just off the strength of his podcast, The Treatment. You know, it's like a movie podcast. He's a black dude. He's got a very specific kind of speaking voice. And it's so funny. There's a cat that lives in my building that sounds like Elvis Mitchell. It's been taking me everything I got not to say that shit sometimes when I talk to the cat. Because I don't know if it's going to be taken as a compliment or whatever, because it's, but it's like a, I think it's a cool speaking voice. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like some people, when they got a speaking voice, where it sounds like they know what the fuck they talking about. Even if they don't, it's just the way they present. But is it black enough for you? I believe that line is pulled from,
it's a song.
No, but it's actually pulled from, there's a song, but it's based on a movie, and it's not The Spook That Sat by the Door. I think it might be based on Cotton Comes to Harlem.
Well, that was probably a song off of that soundtrack. Yeah.
Right. But the thing in the movie is they say it about four or five times, like a Greek chorus throughout the movie. Oh, okay. Different characters kind of say, is it black enough for you? Like, they kind of get that off. So I think they commissioned that whole thing. But it's basically like this. It's a documentary that really, like, traces black film from, like, the early 60s, maybe even a little earlier, to like about the late 70s. And it's interesting because, you know, the way that history is recorded and the way that things are documented and the way things get overlooked, a lot of times, speaking for myself, not that I didn't have any, but I never knew of many black films from before the blaxploitation era. You know what I'm saying? It's very easy to think that that's kind of black people's real entry into film.
Right.
And they were, you know, black people was in there at least 10 years prior. And they talking about, you know, I mean, later on I heard about like Oscar Michaud. There's like a documentary on him on HBO Max and older, you know, black directors. But it's just a really extensive look at black people's contribution to film.
Right.
From way back to up to the 70s. And there was some cool shit. There was like, for instance, I forget the name of the movie, but it made me think because a couple episodes back we were talking about what we do with the billions, and I referenced the whole New Jack City scene with the naked women, you know what I'm saying, bagging up the coke. That's actually a reference from another black movie that came out like 20 years prior. You know what I'm saying? So it's just little shit like that. There's other things where it's like there's so many things that have been sampled from old black movies that people don't even really know about that have been sampled from not just other black movies, but like mainstream movies. Right. You know, so it's just it's pretty deep. Just the stuff that they talk about, the people that they highlight. It's really worth checking out. It's on Netflix. It's called "Is It Black Enough for You?" And it's dope. It's a hell of a it's a really good documentary on black film.
Oh, that's so, what's up.
Yeah, check that out.
I'm looking it up now. Elvis Mitchell, looking like Mr. Glass with dreads and shit.
Yeah. He definitely got, you know, a sensibility about him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
intellectual look. You know what I'm saying?
Right. The whole presentation is this nigga, he's deep. He's saying some shit. The erudite. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, shit.
Hey, man, you know. Presentation is good, man. I don't know what my presentation is saying right now, but I hope to have a presentation by the time I, you know what I'm saying? You know, get real grown.
They just trust you by a JPEG alone. They be like, okay, we get it. We understand.
They know exactly where you're coming from.
Okay, I see what you're saying here.
Somebody saw my shit up one day on the set. And I was like, you know what? That shit is actually, that's actually what I was going for. And I ain't had no words for it, but that's what I said, nigga. Because I had my little suit on, but I had my beanie, you know my glasses, you know, kind of like halfway shades. It was like, oh, you out here business player. I'm like your style is business player. I'm like, business player. That might be exactly what that shit. That sums it up.
That's cool. That's a cool one. I remember I had a motherfucker sum my shit up. This shit wasn't as fly. And nigga said, shout out to motherfucker Relly. This nigga said one day, he was like, yeah, you dress like you listen to Jay Electronica. I said, damn.
Nigga. But that shit is on point.
Yeah, but I don't know how I felt about that shit, nigga. That shit was funny as hell because it was so specific and random and apt. But I was like, I don't know if I want to hold that. Business player is definitely some shit you could sneak into a bio. Or, but I was like, I don't know.
Hey, man. But you know, niggas, black people. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And it's probably from the era where we ain't have much latitude to, you know, to learn and to read and all that shit. And you don't get probably ain't have enough social time to really be getting too deep in the shit. Black people, we know how to describe the shit out of something. You know what I'm saying?
Quick.
Like, nigga, everything is just a description, nigga. You know what I'm saying? It's whole people in your neighborhood, you don't even know their name. Their whole name is their description. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Skinny tie, blackness, you know what I'm saying? It's redness, right. You know what I'm saying? It's just their description. And so, I mean, I had that same shit happen to me. Like, you look like you Jay Electronica fan and shit.
Uh-huh.
I was in the peaches and shit, and there's all these street niggas in there gambling on the game. And then they was talking to, you know, Tracy and one of her friends, old Track Eye. And so I went over there to speak to Tracy, who was a friend of ours. And I said, what's up? Then the street niggas was like, hey, yo, Q-Tip. I'm like, Q-Tip?
Native tongues ass.
Q-Tip? And then he was like, you know, light-skinned niggas played out. Dark-skinned brothers taking over. I was like, hey, man, I'm out the game. Y'all can have it. You know what I'm saying? I had my time.
That's funny.
But I was like, Q-Tip, how the fuck this nigga get Q-Tip?
Right.
And then probably about a year later, this picture popped up of Q-Tip. And the nigga basically had the same outfit I had on. I could put my picture, I put my picture next to his, like, God damn, who wore it best? I'm like, them niggas was on point.
Yeah, nah, quick, fast, summation. Oh, man, speaking of that shit, I saw a meme where they was talking about, similar to you, what's talking about, you know, how they just size you up based on body type or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I don't know if it was a meme or it's cat talking, but he was like, you know, Jamaicans, they'll give you a nickname based on how you look, right? And they said it was these two sisters, and one sister was tall and skinny, another one was like short and, you know, thick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jamaican niggas called the mop and bucket. Said, that shit is crazy. That shit is so fucking illustrative, though, but it's fucking hilarious. Mop and bucket. Oh, man. Yeah, man. But how we even get into that shit? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. Always about Elvis Mitchell and his presentation.
Yeah, his presentation.
Yeah, y'all check that shit out, man. Yeah, it's definitely worth fucking with.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. What else is good with you? What you been up to?
Ah, man, so shit. I'm just out here living life, but my man Cameron Barnes, who listened, a long-time listener of the podcast, Brown Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
He hit me.
Salute.
He hit me in the DMs the other day, and I think he wanted me to answer this right then, but I was like, shit, nigga, I'm in the middle of a whole lot of shit, so I'm sure he's going to hear this now. So I'm going to answer his question now live on the pod since I, you know what I'm saying, didn't really have a whole time to just put together my thoughts then. So he hits me with a question on Saturday. He says, as an executive producer at a major platform, what is the biggest unexpected challenge you have found that you had to overcome to be successful in your position? Something that you didn't expect. Now, that's a lot of stuff to ask a nigga on the run on a Saturday. But, you know, on a motherfucking Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, and when you're in the middle of it, you can really think about it. And really, the most unexpected thing that happened as becoming an executive producer at a platform is that, and I didn't expect this at all. You know what I'm saying? You go in, you're a creative, you out here doing your own shit. Your mind is just working on your shit. You wake up thinking about your shit. And then you come into a place where you're doing the exact same thing, but the difference is you got a team of people. Wow, that sounds like it makes your job easier, right? Wrong. You know what I'm saying? What happens is, and what happened to me, and which I'm trying to reconcile right now, is that what happens is that your mind is no longer your own. You know what I'm saying? So basically from the time you wake up, 8 o'clock in the morning, it's other people in your mind. You know what I'm saying? You in a meeting, da-da-da, 8:30, you in another meeting, 9 o'clock, you in another meeting. You know what I'm saying? Then you get in. You got the team. Everybody got questions. People, you know what I'm saying, need to know this, need to know that. So basically from the time you wake up, then you get home, then you got your kids, you got your family, you got your wife, they in your head basically till you go to sleep. You know what I'm saying? When all of that used to be just your own free mind time, you invited people to your mind. You know what I'm saying? You're like, wait, no, I don't want to talk to that person. I ain't going to talk today. I'll talk tomorrow. I'll talk 2 days from now. But when you're here, you don't have that option. And not having the freedom to just think is the unexpected shit that came with doing this job. And I know how to... I'm working on a process of splitting my mind in half or whatever, quarters, I don't know. Splitting my mind up to where I could take an input and still be able to output at the same time. But that's going to take time. That's something you gotta work through. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not natural. And just like how you are with the kitchen, you know what I'm saying? When you go in the kitchen, you don't want motherfuckers in there, you know what I'm saying, with you. You're like, I'll be out in a second. You don't have that option, you know what I'm saying? And I like to be in the kitchen by myself, for real. But I don't have that option here, so I have to learn how to bring people into my process and to be able to work my process at the same time as these people got questions and these meetings got meetings and, you know what I'm saying? And your people on top of you got, you know what I'm saying, requests. And you still got to be creative and you still got to output dope ass genius shit. So that's the unexpected.
Okay.
That part right there. I don't know if that made sense to nobody, but I just wanted to answer that. I wanted to answer that because he asked, and I ain't really had an answer right off top.
All right. Well, there you go. Shout out to Cameron Barnes for the question. That was a nice little segment.
You know? Maybe we make it a franchise.
Right.
Questions with the conversation.
Right. Let me ask you a question. As always, one of my things, even on this, but like for sure, when I used to interview people, I'd still find myself in the midst of an interview, even though it's understood to be an interview. In the midst of, I'd be like, let me ask you a question. As if this has not been stated that this is all Q&A.
Right.
That was a good answer. But let me ask you a question. It's like, go ahead, motherfucker, this is an interview. I'm sitting for an interview. I mean, this is what it is. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to talk about. You know what? I watched a few comedy specials this weekend. Mm. I watched Dion Cole's Charlene's Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Ian Lara, his romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Lil Rel's, I think it's called I Thought It. I Said Y'all Thought It. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were all solid specials. Funny thing that was very interesting that I appreciated as a performer, and I think I've talked about this before, the compartmentalization of, like, your emotion, you know, when you got to be a performer, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a funny through line that went through all three, a little less rel, but actually the same thing, but just probably a little less immediate with rel. Mm-hmm. But so I watched Deion Cole's joint. At the end of his joint, he says, you know, a lot of comedians that are coming out performing and all of that, and I'm paraphrasing, but something to the effect of, you know, show them love, give them grace, because you don't know what they're dealing with. It was like, you know, a year ago to this day, my mother died. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was supposed to take my special a year ago, but I pushed it back. Oh, no, that part wasn't Deion, but he was like, my mother died a year ago to this day. And he was like, you know, that shit got me fucked up. He kind of put it in a thing of there are people over 50, like he kind of made it a cohort in the way of like people over 50. It's very commonplace in that age group for people to start losing their parents and that they're devastated in that moment. And it's like they're not going to be the same. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But they still got to endure because, you know, life goes on. Mm-hmm. And then similarly, at the end of Ian Lauren, I know Ian from doing shows around the city. Funny cat from Queens. I remember when his mother passed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? His mother passed away, and then he was supposed to do his special, but he pushed it back based on, you know, grief. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you still got to endure. And then, like, similarly, Rel's mother passed, maybe not as immediately, but recently, you know? And it's just one of those things where it's like sometimes, you know, it's interesting to know that, you know, there's all types, like, relatability or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, just there's familiarity and relatability. There's something you don't feel alone or whatever. Like, I remember when I've spoken about this, but I was at the Borgata doing a week out there. That was when my grandmother passed away. Mm-hmm. And that night had to go on stage because, you know, professionals are paid gig. And you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm sure I could have, you know, worthy enough of a thing to be like, nah, I don't want to do it. I'm, you know, overwhelmed or whatever. And that would have been understandable. But there was also part of me that kind of, I guess, in tribute mm-hmm. to her, but then also in as an exercise in my own thing, an exercise in, like, you know, being a professional to just power through it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And it's not to undermine any grief or loss or whatever, but it's just to, like, this is life. You know what I'm saying? And let's center, you know what I mean? Let's get right. We'll get through it. There's X amount of time in the set. You just do what you gotta do, and then, you know what I mean? Go back and feel your feelings. Mm-hmm. But it was just, and obviously based on the pandemic that just passed, I'm sure there was a lot more loss than typical. You know what I'm saying? But it was just something that beyond the fact of the jokes landing, just that through line of loss, but still the show must go on type of ethos. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, that really struck me. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And salute to the three of those comedians for, you know, putting on a show and entertaining the crowd and putting out good work in the midst of, you know, heartache and pain right. and all of that.
Right.
But yeah, it was pretty deep.
Yeah, man. Shit. When you had to perform in the midst of all that, we talking about just performing, trying to barbecue and shit. You know what I'm saying? But when you on that stage,
make grits
and shit, just performing for the kitchen. But when you on that stage and everybody's expecting your work, you know what I'm saying? From the audience to the people who invested in you to the specials or whatever the fuck, you know, everybody expecting that shit to come out. They licking their chops like, yeah, he cooking up something dope. And mm-hmm. but you dealing with your own shit. And, you know, sometimes you encounter people, you know, cross my path as an entrepreneur, you encounter people, you're in the middle of something, you know, people like, I'm going through a thing, you know what I'm saying? And you like, damn, but I need that work, though. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you know, you may get to a point where you going through a thing. And it's people mm-hmm. looking at you like, yo, but I need that work, though. You know what I'm saying? And you can't say you going through a thing. It's hard to say you going through a thing just as a black man in general. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, shit. I'm going through something, niggas looking at you like, nigga, what, nigga? We ain't got time for that. You know what I mean? So to be able to go through it and still do the work, man, is a feat sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And I've been there to where, you know, you just like, fuck, nigga, I don't know how the fuck I'm going to finish this shit. But somehow, some way, you know what I'm saying, God opened up some different lanes for you to finish. It might not be perfect. It might not be the way you thought, but you get it done. And it's like, damn, this shit was only by the grace of God. This shit is a miracle that any of this shit got done with what was going on. So, you know, big ups to everybody who's pushing through, you know what I'm saying, pushing through a thing and still committed to at least trying to get it done.
Yeah. Especially anybody that's dealing with loss, like, you know, during Thanksgiving, which is such a family holiday. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know, support, you know what I mean? Like, hang in there, because it could be tough. It could be rough, you know?
Word
but,
up.
That's the age old transition out of some heavy shit. Yes. You know, yeah, you know what I mean? That, you know how it is.
How we get here.
Right. Yeah. Shit. Anyway.
Some people be like, yeah.
mm-hmm. With that said, that's it for me at this point, unless you got something else you want to talk about.
Ain't much else to talk about after that. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Yeah, this is a nice little hour piece for y'all, you know.
Word up.
Go ahead, bust down that turkey. We'll be back next week. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend to get in the conversation. We out.